We're going to continue the hour by getting the findings of a new report from an organization that launched last year, one that we've talked a little bit about on the air, called Orange County Bail Bond Justice. This is an organization that is taking a look at the bail system and the bond system locally and trying to assess the situation and offer recommendations, particularly when it comes to people who get caught up in the justice system. They get hit with high bail that they're not able to afford, and then that problem compounds for folks even before they get convicted of anything. Even if they never do get convicted of anything, they can catch them up in a system even before any of that happens. So we've got the findings from the report now, and we are joined on the air by two special guests. Kimberly Brewer is the chair of Orange County Bail Bond Justice, and Jeff Hall is a member of the board. Jeff, Kimberly, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having us.
And you can get more information, including the report, by the way, online at ocbailbondjustice.org. So as we get started, tell us about the program, how it came together last year.
All right. Well, like you said, we got started in January of last year, and we really had two goals. One was to try to change unjust bail practices in Orange County, and the second was to try to provide assistance to people who are being impacted by that system. And so the first thing we needed to do was to learn what's happening on the ground, right? We needed to educate ourselves about how bail is actually being set, both the good things that are happening in Orange County and also the things that need reforming. So we've been in court every day almost since March of last year and recording how bail is being set. And that's what we are reporting in this report, what we saw, what we heard, and what that means for people in our community.
And it really is an important issue that doesn't get nearly as much coverage or discussion or thought as it should. And it really does impact the lives of people, not just while they're going through the system, but in many cases for months or even many years after. And Jeff, I know you're on the board. You're also someone who has been impacted by this directly. What was your experience?
Yeah, that's a great point. I was thinking on the way here that the last time I was associated with Chapelboro was when my mugshot was on the front page. So, yeah, as somebody who has been through the system and gone through that, you get a sense for how impactful this is, and it's impactful from the very first moment. So research shows us that within the first 48 to 72 hours after someone is arrested is when the most pernicious effects occur. That's when you lose jobs. That's when you lose transportation. That's when you have the possibility of your kids being taken away from you. And all of that happens when you have to stay in jail. Mm-hmm. And you have to stay in jail because bail is set. And, you know, we wanted to just fundamentally question whether or not A, that's something that should exist, and B, if it is going to exist, let's make sure that it's being applied fair and equitably across the board. And so we wanted to take a look at that.
And that's a really, really significant thing, is when you're arrested, you're brought to in front of a magistrate or a judge, they set bail, and at that point, they'll let you go. All you have to do is be able to afford to pay this, in some cases, very high thousands or tens or hundreds of thousands of dollar bail. So anyone who can afford to pay, you just do that and go. But if, like most of us, you can't, there you're stuck in jail only because you don't have enough money, and then you start losing jobs and everything that follows after that.
That's right. Yeah. And another thing that's so important to stress is that this is at the very, this is very soon after you've been arrested. Mm-hmm. At this point, you know, you have not been convicted of anything. You have not gone to trial. You've simply been charged. And so by law, you are presumed innocent, and yet here you are waiting in jail simply because you don't have the resources to pay.
So that is the overarching situation. We've got the report now from nearly a year of observing magistrates and judges in Orange County. And I keep saying magistrates and judges, and we'll get to this, because there is a pretty big difference in terms of the findings when it comes to the way that magistrates apply bail versus the way that judges do. But what were the overarching findings?
Well, I think the fundamental finding for me, if we had to boil it down into just one, is that we found that essentially there are two justice systems in Orange County. Mm-hmm. There's one if you have money, and there's one if you don't. If you have money, you can pay the bail just like you described, and you can walk out the door. If you don't have money, then you start getting caught up in the system, and you essentially start getting punished from the moment of your arrest. And that just struck us as a faith-based organization as something that was just fundamentally unfair and essentially immoral and something we wanted to take a stand against.
Yeah. And also, you know, we're a wealthy community. By many standards, we're a wealthy community. And yet the people that we see in court, observe in court, 82% of them are poor. And the first person who sets the bail is the magistrate, as you said, you know, within hours of being arrested. And then after that, the judge sets the bail. And only 21% of the people that we observed were able to post their bail before they saw the judge. And so that really says we have a system that's unequal when it comes to poor people in our community.
A couple of things you mentioned there that bear clarification. You mentioned this is a faith-based organization. Does it come entirely out of Binkley Baptist Church or not entirely, right?
We have nine churches, wonderful churches who are all partnering on this, as well as other organizations in the community like the NAACP, the ACLU, and other organizations. So a real strong partnership.
And then you also mentioned, Kimberly, that 82% of people who go into the system are poor, and that's measured by I go into court and I can't afford an attorney, right?
Exactly. The judge determines whether the person can afford an attorney or not based on their income and assets, and then declares them indigent in the eyes of the court. And that's a determination that the judge makes.
Speaking with Kimberly Brewer and Jeff Hall, ocbailbondjustice.org is the website for the organization. You can find the report there as well. So when you get arrested, you get brought before a magistrate or a judge, they can do one of four things, right? They can give you a secured bond that you have to pay. They can give you an unsecured bond that you'll be required to pay later if you don't then show up. They can let you go with a written promise to appear. Or if it's a very serious crime, right, they can put you in jail with no bond until trial. Those are the four options. What should they be doing versus what's actually happening?
That's a great question. And in the state of North Carolina, you know, for all the issues that we have with our state government here locally, the state laws on this are actually pretty good. The state laws mandate that the default should be the written promise to appear. In addition, the Chief Superior Court Judge Carl Fox has issued written guidance to his court saying this is the standard, this is what we need to follow. However, despite the fact that the written promise to appear is the default, it just doesn't happen very often. Only 17% of the time do magistrates give a written promise to appear. And by the time you get to the judge, it's a little bit better, but still 38% of the time is when judges will issue that written promise to appear. That means most of the people in the system are getting a secured bond, which means they have to pay. Mm-hmm. And that's where the pernicious effects start.
Another thing that's important about the state law that we found doesn't seem to be happening very well is that the law says that the person's financial resources or ability to pay should be considered when you're setting the bail and the bail amount. And we just didn't hear that. And in very few cases do we hear a judge ask about or inquire about ability to pay. And we aren't able to see the magistrate's proceedings. So we don't know that, but we know only 21% of the people were able to post bail. So it looks like, from what we could observe, that ability to pay is not being used as a criteria in setting bail like it's supposed to be according to the law.
And certainly with magistrates, one of the really striking findings here, and you mentioned the default setting should be a written promise to appear. Three quarters of the cases that go before a magistrate, it ends up being not even an unsecured bond, a secured bond. So you have to pay at that point in order to get out.
Right. And another important and startling finding for us was that even for cases that only involve misdemeanors, magistrates required a secured bond, cash bail, in 79% of the cases. And again, the judges were better on this, you know, 38% of the cases. But still, this is a high number of cases for misdemeanor charges only. And in fact, a UNC study showed that we rank pretty far down in North Carolina counties when it comes to the use of secured bonds when it comes to misdemeanor only cases.
And this is also affecting particular groups of people within our community more heavily than others. It's affecting poorer people more. It's affecting people with mental illness and substance use problems more, only because those are the people who wind up getting into the system too. And then there's a pretty sizable racial disparity here in this report, not just insofar as there's a disproportionate number of black defendants. But then when you're in court, if you're in the same situation, judges and magistrates do different things with white defendants versus black defendants.
That certainly appears to be what we observed. I mean, there certainly is a striking disparity. And some of this is just kind of baked into the system. I mean, black people tend to be arrested at a higher rate because there's just disproportionate policing in those communities. And that carries over to the system. But as you pointed out, there were similar cases where it looked like black defendants were being treated differently. And again, all we can go by is what we saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that is to provide the context here, and is so important. And we're a relatively white community, overwhelmingly white community. And, 69%, almost 70% of Orange County is white, but we only made up about 42% of the cases that we observed. Only 11% of our community is black, and yet they made up 47% of the cases that we observed. So you can see a huge disproportion in terms of the people that make up our community and the people that we're seeing in court. And we didn't analyze the causation of that. We were just reporting what we saw. And that was really disturbing.
There are a lot of really stark and troubling findings here, and we're not going to be able to get to them all. Again, you can read the report at the website, which is ocbailbondjustice.org. I keep saying that. Can people go to the website and get the report?
They can.
Okay, good. I'm
absolutely
glad.
If you go to the website and there's a tag about us, and just go there and you'll see the report.
I got the report via email, and I haven't been to the website yet to actually see the link. Okay, go to the website and you can get the report in full. There are also quite a few positives about the way that the system is being handled in Orange County. What are some of the most significant ones there?
Well, I think one of the biggest and most exciting things that's happening is that the district court has convened a working group that consists of a superior court judge, a district court judge, the chief magistrate, Sheriff Blackwood, and all of these people are coming together to talk about bail practices and talk about pretrial practices. Ted Dorsey and Kate Finhagen from Pretrial Services are part of that. And this is a group within the system that is working hard to look at ways to change this and make this more fair and to make sure that the guidance from the district court or superior court judge and from the state is being applied fairly in all cases.
And I would say that we've had folks working on this, reform-minded judges, elected officials, people within the criminal justice system in Orange County who have really made strides to create reform and good practices, and we're seeing that. And some of those include the pretrial release services program that we just mentioned, and the fact that we have a really strong pretrial release policy, the policy that says that written promise to appear should be the default. We have a strong citation policy. We have public defenders in court there with the defendants. And every county doesn't have that. During these first appearance hearings, they actually have someone there who can assist them. And they're able to see a judge. Defendants are able to see a judge typically within 24 hours or within 3 days. In some communities, it's much longer. Mm. So we have some good things happening in Orange County, and we are thankful for that. We praise the reform efforts that have happened, but even despite those reform efforts, we're seeing some fundamental changes still need to happen.
And it really underscores just how big of a problem this is statewide and nationally, that, oh man, here's all this great stuff that's happening in Orange County. We're moving in the right direction. We've got people in charge who understand the issue and are trying to do the right thing, and yet all of these problems still exist in a really stark and significant way. Now let's go 6 or 8 or 2 or 1 county over where all of these problems exist and there aren't people in charge who are committed to making things better. How much worse is it there? It's really troubling to think about.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And what we say, Aaron, is that we live here. Mm-hmm. We live in Orange County, and we can do something about what's happening in Orange County. And what we see is that the reform efforts that are happening at the local level, that's really driving what happens at the state level. And there are conversations, there are discussions happening at the state level. So we say what we do in Orange County can affect those other counties. And we know that this is where we can make a difference.
So what are the recommendations? At the very end of the report, there are 14 recommendations for reform. What are some of the really significant ones and what's already being done?
Well, I would think the first one that I would like to highlight is that we want to make the implicit explicit. We know that judges are considering a lot of things and they have a lot of information in front of them when they make these bail bond decisions. One of the things that we want them to do is start sharing that with the defendant. If you are looking at, as a judge, if you're looking at the financial ability to pay, then let's tell the defendant, hey, I see right here that you have this ability to pay or you don't have this ability to pay and that's affecting this decision. Mm-hmm. So part of it is about empowering defendants to have more information about what's going on.
Right, and also a big picture recommendation is we would like the existing policies and laws on the books to simply be followed.
Correct.
And we think if those are followed in a consistent way, that we will have a much more just and fair system in Orange County. And like Jeff said, we have good policies in place. We have good laws in place. Let's use them. And let's use them consistently. But we do have some more specific. We have five recommendations that we said were our top recommendations. And one is to have an explicit assessment of the defendant's ability to pay mm-hmm. when setting bail. And then just a clear policy on the use of the written promise to appear as the default. We know that that's the policy, but we need better procedures and making that happen on the ground. We want a stronger citation release policy and practice. Again, we have a strong policy, but we're recommending that law enforcement officers carry a card with them just stating when a citation should be used versus an arrest. And we think that'll really help improve the use of our good policy here that we already have. A lot of people fail to appear in court, and this is a troubling thing for people who live on the margins. It can be really difficult to get to court for many reasons if you're poor and living on the margins. And one of those things that can happen is confusion about court dates or just having problems getting to court due to transportation or childcare. And so one of the recommendations that we make is improved communications on court date reminders. The county is doing some good things right now in terms of texting court date reminders, but we think that we need to do a better job of actually calling and making other ways to reach out. And then, you know, we talked about the pretrial release services program and what a good program that is. And when someone is released with supervision for the pretrial release program, you know, it takes a lot of work to do to manage those cases, particularly if someone has mental health issues or substance use issues, or if it's a domestic violence case. And so there needs to be more resources for that program in handling and, you know, the cases and managing the cases effectively. They're doing the best job they can with the resources they have, but we want to give them the resources they need. So those were the top five. We think all 14 of the recommendations can make a difference, but these are ones that we think can be done immediately and would require little to no resources. In fact, a number of our recommendations would require little to no resources.
We've got to leave it there, but if people want to know more or they want to get involved, where can they go? What can they do?
Well, go ahead.
Visit the website. There are opportunities to donate to the fund that we're starting to help pay people's bail. That's an exciting thing that's going to be happening next. The Court Observation Program would love to have more volunteers. So go to the website, find out more information, reach out to us, and let's talk about how you can get involved.
Yeah, we're going to be continuing our Court Observation Program this year and beyond, so we would love for you to participate.
Our ocbailbondjustice.org is the website. Go there and find out more. Kimberly Brewer, Jeff Hall, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.